Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to a special edition TF Metals Report podcast. If you recall back in 2015, we were very excited to learn of a new trading platform for allocated, fully allocated physical gold and silver. And we brought that news to you back in March and in April, and I'm pleased to report that as of earlier this week, it is finally up and running, the allocated bullion exchange. And with us today is Tom Coughlin, the CEO of the allocated bullion exchange. Tom, congratulations and welcome back.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it.
Man, I know it's been a crazy year for you with a lot of beta testing and lining up of liquidity providers and members of your exchange. But the good news is you're up and running. How's it feel? And can you explain to everybody the advantages of ABX and how it's going to help us all out going forward?
Yes, definitely. Yes, we are finally officially launched. Yes, definitely throughout the year, it was a matter of, getting all of our ducks aligned, getting everything together, fully building out the market and all of our 11 locations. But yeah, I'm pleased to report that we've done that. So we've got really great participation at this launch in all 11 of our trading hubs around the world. So those trading hubs are independent pricing, storage, and delivery locations. We've fully built out our global market now. So what we've effectively done is modernize, globalize, and integrate the world of precious metals trading. And it has quite significant implications upon, the global precious metal markets on price discovery in particular. So just running through, those three pillars, as we call them. On the modernization side, what we've actually done is bring the institutional trade of spot physical precious metals into the electronic environment. So, I mean, all of your listeners would know that in the retail market, you can actually quite easily jump online and buy precious metals and store them and trade them, et cetera. But in the institutional market, that is not the case. There's no institutional trading, execution, and clearing facilities for spot physical. We've developed that, and what that actually means is different things to different people, but certainly if we were to look at the physical markets, we bring a lot of efficiency and cost savings that spans from the initial suppliers, being the producers, all the way through intermediary, like broker-dealers. We bring a lot of efficiencies to their back office, which basically boosts their bottom line, into investors who get to save a lot of money as well. So that covers like the modernization pillar. On the globalization side, what our marketplace does is knock down the barriers to entry into all these different markets across the world. So I guess to take a real-world example, if you were to consider a Hong Kong trader, they understand their local region, their local market. They have trust and relationships in their market, and they have their counterparts that they deal with, and they know how to trade in that market, and they trade on a 9-to-5 basis. But what we've done is enabled that Hong Kong trader to participate, say, for example, in an Istanbul market or in a Singapore market or a Dubai market or a London market for that matter as well. So we've built out all of these different 11 hubs spread across the world and integrated them all together. So, and that means different things, but it brings enormous efficiencies. So, for example, I might be holding bullion in London, and I want to move it to Hong Kong. The traditional method of doing that is basically you pick it up from a vault, put it in a truck, you put it in the plane, lands in Hong Kong, gets put back into a truck and put back into a vault, and there's a lot of costs associated with that. What you can do through our system, because we've built out a liquid market in all of these trading hubs, you can effectively just sell in London and buy in Hong Kong. And you instantaneously, electronically shift title from one location to the next. In addition to that, I can immediately identify any pricing differentials from one location to the next and act upon those pricing differentials. Because I can immediately identify those pricing differentials, we contend once we reach a participation level and some kind of tipping point as far as migrating trade away from, into our market, then we'll start to flatten the physical price of gold. And ultimately, we wish to become the global benchmark price of gold, and that for that global benchmark price to represent the true physical market. So that's really how we've globalized it. On our third pillar being integration, what we've done is integrate the entire trade cycle or life cycle of physical precious metals from the initial supplier to the end consumer. And so the initial supplier being the producer. And this is, we've built out the mechanics and a solution for the producer, which is the first time such a facility has existed, which provides that direct market access to the mining producer to interact with the wholesale market. It's a profoundly strong value proposition that we actually offer a mining producer, because at the moment, what they are completely beholden to intermediary dealers. Those intermediaries participate in the wholesale market, not the producers.
Right.
And so what that means is the producers are price takers. They're taking a price of an intermediary dealer. That intermediary dealer might be a bank. It might be a large trading house. Right? And that, in many cases, the producers are only interacting with one dealer. Quite often, trade's done just telephone or even email. And they just take the price or hit the bid that the producer gives them. What our marketplace allows them to do is be price makers. Mm-hmm. So it puts the pricing really in the hands of the producers. So they sit on the offer side of the market. They don't hit the dealer's bid. And our marketplace, with hundreds or thousands of traders and dealers across the world, we bring those liquidity takers, those traders and dealers, to the producers. And they compete for the producers' liquidity. Sitting on the opposite side of the market. So we've actually quantified the benefits. We've built out the business case for the producers, and as I said, it really is quite profound. We've started taking this producers. I think we've spoken to around 8 of the top 15 largest gold and silver producers in the world, and they're enormously supportive for what we're doing. And we're taking the conversation forward from there. And we hope to have participation in quite a large way in the marketplace by end of year, actually. So that's on the producer side, but we also benefit everyone downstream from the producer. Even the intermediary dealers get value from us, because we're basically stripping away the manual processes, automating, streamlining everything. To the end investors, get all the cost savings, the efficiencies of dealing in a wholesale market directly. Same applies with the jewelers and manufacturers. So we've looked at our solution. We've worked with the full physical industry. That's only one target market. We also have the wealth management industry, mm-hmm. and the online broking space. In the wealth management industry, if you compare us up against, GLD, ETF, we're a third of the cost. We're a third of the cost if you were to actually look at what we charge our members. We have double the liquidity, and we're a value-added service. So we don't have any sort of, call it financial layers. We're not getting units in your unit trust. You're getting direct allocated physical ownership of metal, and also you can store it in any of our 11 locations and take delivery at any point in time. So really, we've looked at the value that we've provided. We're very happy, and the take-up and the participation that we already have in the market, the trade that's going on, we're very proud of it.
Tom, it sounds, when we first talked about this last year, it seemed like a possible, almost game-changing development, in that you're, in a sense, deleveraging the bullion banks and the LBMA system because you're providing a way around it for physical trade and physical acquisition. You know, these institutions, much has been made of the size of the institutional market, how none of these large institutions own gold. They want to do it anonymously. You give them that platform. You give them the platform to do it efficiently. And as you said, you're also providing a platform to the producer to almost set their own price rather than, for example, the way the silver fix came down a couple of weeks ago and really buried some producers with a price that was below the market that day. It sounds to me like you've really come up with a system. And is the buy-in so far? I mean, you're sensing this is being accepted and you're moving forward?
For sure. And the buy-in's fantastic. If you were to actually look at our market and our participants, say in Asia, for example, where we don't have all the resources in the world at the moment, so we have to do things incrementally. But we've had a concerted sort of sales focus, I would say, say for example, in Asia. We have, I think, the four of the five largest physical bullion trading houses participating in our platform out of the Asian region. So we have good liquidity going through our, and good volume going through our market already. We're just starting things as far as the producers are concerned. It's a whole new paradigm shift for them because for centuries they've been focused 100% basically on how much it costs them to extract the metal out of the ground, and less so on the execution price. Mm-hmm. So we've taken something completely different to them. Say, okay, look, you've been focused on saving a dollar an ounce and extracting that out of the ground, but we can save you $25 an ounce on the sale execution price. That's what we've quantified the benefits to some producers at. And for them, it's sort of like, oh, I never thought about this before. I just deal with this bank or this dealer, and they give me, price, and it seems to be close to the Kitco price, etc. But I guess there's just less understanding. It's something new for them. We're going through an educational process with them at the moment. And, of course, because the business case makes sense, and as we gain more and more participation, it's our view that if we can save them that much money, then why wouldn't they join? And then that way, this is really our strategic direction. This is how we're commercializing the business. We haven't come out with a newly wrapped platform and tried to insert it into an organically dying marketplace, which seems to be the case. We realized pretty early on that our structure is the organically evolving marketplace, and it's a globalized marketplace, and we need to cater for the true demands of this globalized market, and that's what we think we're doing.
Tom, I think it's very exciting, and I know 2015 was an interesting year, challenging year, bringing it all together, but I'm just really thrilled for you and thrilled for all of us in the gold community that you are now up and running, and it's going to be fun to watch the progress and that further buy-in, not only of investors, retail and institutional, but of the producers, as a way to eventually modernize and do away with this arcane LBMA system that has been around now for over a century. Keep up the good work, my friend, and I look forward to...
Thank you very much, Craig, and thank you for your time. I'm very excited about seeing what's in store for us for 2016 as well.
Let's talk...
Hopefully we can contribute towards a little bit of price action there as well as we see a migration into our market.
Let's do it, and let's keep in touch, Tom.
Okay, thanks a lot, Craig. Appreciate the time.
And now I want to speak with Andrew McGuire, long-term Turdites. You know that Andrew's been a friend of ours here on the site for years, and he has been instrumental in helping Tom bring the ABX about. He actually has a seat on the advisory board of the ABX. Andrew's got his own company, Gold Star Global, which is a member of the exchange. And I thought if there's anybody that could really put it into English about how this is, this whole thing with the ABX, how this really can be, and I, in my opinion, will be a game changer, how this will work for retail, institutional, for the producers themselves. I thought if anybody could do that, it'd be Andy. So Andy, welcome back. I hope you're doing well today.
Craig, great to be with you again. Yeah, it is, and it's really great to be with you. And I know I'm following on from Tom, who's just outlined the rollout of the most exciting news that the precious metals industry has had that I can ever, ever recall. But I think, you know, obviously Tom has been through that outline, but I think what's interesting, let's look at just how important this exchange is going to be in establishing real physically derived price discovery, which I know is close to the hearts of everybody.
Yep.
And try and imagine, what is that price? Well, let's have a look at that in a little while as to what that just might be, but it's going to be it's exponential numbers. But now, as liquidity flows into this disruptive ABX exchange, one can only guess at what the real price of physical is going to be. Now, let's look at some facts, and then we'll try and assess this. But we all know that 95% of gold traded on the LBA is of unallocated gold, which is settled and buy nothing more than a debit or a credit in a metal account, which you know, I know you've talked about this before. We've talked about this before too, but it's settled in a closed loop daisy chain of LBMA bullion banks. Now, the holders of these accounts are merely unsecured creditors of the bank with a general claim on an unspecified volume of gold in the bank vault. So any gold backed, you know, backing the unallocated gold, which is actually in the vault, is part of the bank's working capital, and they can do with that as they wish. Now, fine, if you were perhaps looking to use that money for collateralizing your jewelry businesses or whatever, but you know, the danger is, and I think one of the big concerns is that being a fractional reserve market, that what's happened is that leverages the temptation of leveraging this up to exponential amounts, and we use numbers like 100 to 1, but we even have a Reserve Bank of India report in 2010 confirming 92 to 1, so we know we're in the right area there. So essentially, really, what we're saying is massive counterparty risk. So therein lays the problem, and until the physical markets started to migrate to Asia, it was possible to keep rolling over these underwater forwards and derivative positions, banking on the fact that unallocated account holders would never choose to allocate. And it's cheaper, so why would you? You have no worries about that problem. So the current unwind of unallocated high counterparty risk accounts seeking safe haven of allocated physical off Loco London has created a market disconnect that we've never seen before. And I know that you're onto this yourself, Craig. And we've known the physical markets have been broken for some 5 years. I mean, in the orchestrated 2013 April sell-off, I mean, that tipped the balance. I mean, really, it drained the underlying physical anchor, which is the anchor to the highly leveraged, unallocated Loco London bullion markets, and that's the physical. And it's astounded us all that just how long this unallocated gold market Ponzi scheme has been allowed to run. I mean, at a conservative estimate, and just using what we just mentioned, the 2010 Reserve Bank of India official report, and we're talking about an over-the-counter market operating at a 92-to-1 ratio. Now, that's perpetually rolled over underwater, over-collateralized gold and silver positions. They're so mismatched to current supply-demand fundamentals that the local London physical market is broken. And we have to understand that the over-the-counter gold markets are unlike any other commodity market, as they trade inside a $5 trillion a day cash currency market as a pairs trade to fiat currencies, which is, you know, dollar gold, pound gold, yen gold, as we know. And being long gold is essentially short the other side, like short the dollar, and vice versa. So the problems have arisen because of two things: concentration of position by a tiny group of market-making bullion banks, and a blatant lack of market regulation. Now, we've seen evidence of bank collusion in virtually every mark that is concentrated positioning, everything from LIBOR to aluminium. I think you call it aluminium, but I find that hard to say. The regulators have dragged their feet, and there's a myriad of reasons for this, notwithstanding massive bank lobbying to keep markets opaque. But it was the regulators' lack of prompt action that has finally backfired on a highly leveraged underwater unallocated gold market. And this is something I warned the regulators back in 2009 when I provided them 88 examples of gold and silver market collusion, i.e. rigging, by a very small group of banks that we all know. Now, I'm quite sure a lot of this evidence has finally been acted on, but it's taken far too long, and the financial penalties for market rigging have ended up being a tiny cost of business for these banks. A slap on the wrist. And in fact, I'm sure it's factored in to the fact of your profit and loss statement. Well, we're going to get a fine here and a fine there. So, you know, if we don't, great.
Exactly.
Now, I also warned the regulators that the physical markets would one day migrate away from these synthetic markets, and it was going to do their job for them, like bankrupting these bank bullion banks along the way. And now, of course, we've got ABX in mind as well here. But continuing just to look at the liquidity drain out of Loco London, it continues to evaporate. And really, now it's openly admitted by the LBMA, recent LBM articles talking about the broken physical markets, which clearly have migrated to Asian and other competing physically deliverable global exchanges, and now the ABX. And in the interim, the 100% synthetically driven COMEX market evidences the usual crew adding naked shorts one-to-one, yet again, Craig, we just talked about this, against a large naked short undeliverable to naked long undeliverable spec longs as well. And that's the problem, is that the Washington rings cycle is because with synthetic market, no one takes delivery, no one asks for delivery. And, you know, really, we talked about the blue line up the center line as delivery. So the pallet, a forklift truck picks up a pallet, shoves it over to the other side. That's delivery, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, as a result of these two synthetic inputs, really, we're witnessing a final divergence that's going to culminate in the end of the synthetic markets as we know them. I know that's music to everyone's ears.
Yeah.
These are the final days of an old game that's broken. In fact, I see the hot money for once, and by sheer accident at this time, on the right side of this futures-driven rally. I mean, the leakage of physical, and they don't understand why, the leakage of physical from the resulting deliverable spot price off Loco London is temporarily masked by massive defense of underwater, undeliverable derivatives. Now, there's really nowhere for the LBMA to hide any longer. And as admitted in this lead article in this LBMA Alchemist publication that was titled "The Physical Wholesale Markets Are Broken." Now, obviously, you know, I don't want to belabor it too much, because I know a lot of your listeners are well educated, but in these tight physical market conditions, if you remember where we were back in the 1150s as we ended the year in 2015, with massive backwardations, with clear evidence of co-basis pointing to 1300, which was $150 higher than the price that we were closing in on at the end of 2015, where were the bullion banks at that time? Well, of course, they were on the long side of a record short managed money position. So, you know, again, but in these tight physical market conditions, fundamentals should have seen price at that time rise into the very strong demand. But it was literally the sheer weight of paper market supply that hid the fact that under the radar, and now this is really important, under the radar, the divergences were in fact being arbitraged but off Loco London in the physical markets. And that doesn't immediately translate into a rising gold price because of the protection of the massive over-the-counter and related COMEX derivative bets. And this was eliciting large synthetic short selling of paper gold and the silver supply into the end of the year. And the resulting poor gold market performance also drew in, of course, hot money tax loss selling.
Yep.
So that enabled the market maker banks to start to take the long side of the wrong-footed hot money. We know we're talking, I mean, I'm talking to the converted here, and I'm talking to the people that understand this, but is it worth putting this into context? Because we're now looking at changes, massive changes in market structure, where this cannot happen again. Physical demand, as we know, it's unleveraged, and it taps into a finite, immediately deliverable gold supply. So obviously the synthetic gold has been created in sufficient quantities, not unlimited quantities, but in sufficient quantities by a small group of colluding bullion banks just to protect these billions of dollars worth of accrued naked short derivative bets. And it is the focus. This is their focus. And that is why we're seeing the dislocation and the creation of bifurcated markets. And there's no large above ground supply left to tap into. There's a limit to how much synthetic supply can be created. And that's because the resulting discounted spot market price, which is, of course, the dear old COMEX tail wagging the spot dog, and how many times have we talked about this over the years, Craig,
it's
ultimately deliverable. And these discounts have been capitalized on by competing central banks and sovereigns, resulting in the anchor for these highly leveraged derivative bets, which is the physical, being dislodged.
Yes.
And the lines have actually crossed. This is the bifurcation that has resulted in a broken gold and silver market, as admitted just 2 weeks ago by the LBMA. Now, further to this, we have a growing split in the bullion bank ranks, and it's important to understand that these dynamics are so different to people who are anchoring trend lines and pivots in history, where we have a completely different picture now. Anyone looking to trade and trend lines anchored in history are liable to get a religious experience here. I've seen some people going short in gold, along with Goldman Sachs in the 1150s. Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were told that it's we're about to hit 1,000. So, and I've also seen people taking profits a little bit too early too, which is again a bit of a shame. And I think this is what we're just saying. Really, it's a complete change in behavior. Now, the exit of the two principal market making insiders, which is Deutsche Bank and Barclays, from the gold business, foreshadows the demise of the LBMA cartel.
Sure.
The migration of the physical markets out of London into Asia, and the launch of the competing non-LBMA controlled physical conduits off Loco London, along with increasing regulatory scrutiny, has put the insider controlled bullion banks into unforeseen disarray as critical liquidity is evaporating. And you know, we saw over the last 2 years, we've seen the exit of Credit Suisse, Mitsui. These are all signs that the LBMA unallocated fractional reserve model is broken. And under regulatory pressure, the LBMA has no solution to this other than to try and cobble together an opaque electronic clearing system to continue to conduct over-the-counter bilateral opaque trades. And this will be this is just the same closed loop of bullion banks, and it's not going to change the way the over-the-counter markets trade. But this is where it gets interesting, and I'm following on from Tom here. A major new threat is now on the LBMA's radar. For those who've been following our discussions and our interviews where we were foreshadowing the launch of the ABX exchange, they'll be aware now that that this exchange has now launched just, 2 days ago?
Yep.
This is a game changer. The first phase rollout is really always seen at this point, but it is fully functional. It providing direct access, and I'm sure Tom's gone through this for the global market participants, and it's connecting them directly to the largest global wholesale market liquidity centers, offering fully transparent global trading, storage, and price discovery, of course, 23 hours a day and 5 days a week. This is the biggest news to hit the gold market I can recall in some nearly 40 years. And it's going to change the way precious metal price discovery is established. This is the world's first global institutional electronic exchange for allocated physical precious metals. ABX is a disruptor to the existing methods of physical bullion trading, and it's accessible to everyone, from central banks to individual investors looking to find a secure, independent way to trade and store and take delivery outside the high counterparty risk LBMA conduit. Now, the LBMA are scrambling to move an increasingly illiquid over-the-counter high counterparty risk unallocated gold market to an electronic clearing platform, which is still geared around the same few bullion banks, where transactions will remain deliberately opaque, whereas the centrally cleared ABX allocated model connects producers directly to the large liquidity takers, such as the global bullion banks, the refiners, sovereigns, central banks, as well as a diverse range of participants across all global HUDs anonymously at a transparent, published, centrally cleared price. And so, really, as we know, the whole reason that the LBMA is on their heels and scrambling, you bet your life, they're having late night meetings. This is a major, major event for them. And I think totally underestimated. And I think what they're trying to do now with what we just mentioned was trying to cobble together some opaque system that is no different to the old fix, which has been re-cobbled. It's really no different to that. But in this case, it's trying to play defense against their Achilles heel, which is trying to keep and trying to dupe the captive producers, which is the key liquidity providers that they need, into believing they will get a better price by keeping the system to a system of bilaterally cleared dark transactions. And I've never seen a spin master come out with such an outrageous argument to think that a bilaterally cleared dark transaction is going to get you a better price than a centrally cleared transparent price, where you can see the aggregated bids and offers around the globe 23 hours a day. It's ludicrous. I mean, you know, these producers, though, Craig, they're not sophisticated sellers. We know that. They're focused on mining the product,
right?
And they rely on this benchmark fixed price being determined for them by the appointed fixed participant, which is, of course, the financing bullion banks. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they're captive. They're captive in that respect. But with producers having very little participation in the fixing process, this new so-called transparent gold fix has stayed just as opaque as this new proposed cobbled-together system that they're proposing is. And the end result of this fix is the price is accepted by producers at face value. And although it's an improvement on the old-school fix, the electronic gold fix is still controlled by a handful of bullion bank insiders, where the chair is still privileged to set the opening price. I mean, talk about opaque. Try and find out the name of the current LBMA chair conducting this auction. Why is this name being kept under wraps? Where is this transparency?
The
process of determining the opening price is wide open to abuse, as it can be managed ahead of the opening round simply by way of trading futures or spot, heavily influencing the opening bids and offers. And once you've got that influenced, then obviously, you know, the billion banking mark makers, they're insiders. They have a privileged view into the trading book, so they know where the aggregated stops are, leaving the process wide open to abuse. So, you know, captive producer sales are thrown in at market with known and agreed sell at market orders, and they can be shared to common advantage by a few colluding insiders, including the very active Bank of International Settlements Gold Desk. So really, you know, to wrap it all up, the bullion banks are fractured. They're desperately trying to band-aid a platform for key liquidity providers. And these producers are migrating over to the ABX.
Let me kind of put this back into a certain perspective too, Andy. Let me ask you a question. You're English, obviously. I can tell by your accent. you've lived there your whole life?
Yes, I was actually an army brat and. Mm-hmm. And spent, I think, several years in Malaysia, Indonesia, and all manner of places around the world as we traveled the world.
But you feel like you know your country pretty well, right?
I do.
And you've toured the massive gold mines up there in the hills, right? The huge, massive gold mines there in the southwest of England?
I know exactly where you're going with this.
No?
Yes, yes.
You have?
Oh, yes.
You've been in there? Okay, good. Because, you know,
are you talking about my vault? Are you talking
about... Yeah, that's right. No, you know, but I think it's interesting because Koos Jansen reported yesterday that in December alone, December 2015, England exported 186 metric tons of gold. So I presume that that's all from their mining activities, right?
Love it.
No?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't think it is. Okay. Let me just phrase that. I don't think it is somehow.
All right. So if we've got this massive exodus of gold leaving the London vaults, then the whole LBMA fractional system, which is built upon leverage, is being deleveraged. And at the same time that that is happening, we had this, I'm trying to think of the proper politically correct way of saying Scroogey that was put on the silver producers of the world 2 weeks ago by the LBMA when they set the fix at 1358 when the price was 1440. So you had that happen. And now you've got this competing exchange that is just getting started. And I understand there are maybe a few other tricks up their sleeve as well at the ABX that are coming. But the exchange itself allows now not only the institutional or retail buyer to actually hold physical metal, allocated physical metal, take advantage of price disparities across the globe, hold their gold in London or someplace, and then sell it in Singapore at a higher price if they'd like without having to move it. But it also gives the advantage to the liquidity providers, the metal providers, the ones that the LBMA is banking on replenishing or at least providing flow for their empty vaults. And now these liquidity providers, which they just, what's the proper term again, Scroogey'd 2 weeks ago with the silver fix, now have a way to circumvent these banks and circumvent that system. Andy, as I put it all together, I think we really have changed the game, that this is the beginning of the end. Am I seeing this right?
Yeah, 100%. And this is, as I say, nothing has ever been, nothing's ever been brought to the market that has offered all of those things. And you've now connected the right from one end, the producer, all the way to the end user, transparently at 23 hours a day, 5 days a week. Why do you need a fix? I understand that a fix is necessary for setting the price of derivatives and setting the price of forwards and et cetera, et cetera. But really, I honestly believe there's going to be a reset. I do not believe, as this physical that you were just describing is now flowing, the liquidity is flowing out of London, and it's leaving the derivatives exposed to even more massive leverage. These are undeliverable positions. So what's going to happen is we're going to have a reset at some point.
Yep.
It's going to be on a Friday night. Mm. And when this happens, by the Monday, we will have what is probably closer to a real gold price. This position is and if you're an unallocated gold holder, you're going to be settled on Friday at the Friday price.
Yeah.
So, you know, we know it's coming. There is no back door. It has to be. They're in their rights without even calling it a default to settle these things. So unless you are allocated and unless you have, and again, thought of bail-ins, the worry of bail-ins, the ABX provides you the ability to put your money outside of the system and choose when to buy, when to sell your physical. And that's something that we ourselves offer. I mean, we offer a no fee portfolio management system for people that come through our platform. Enter the ABX system, exit the high counterparty risk system, take your money out of the a possible bail-in situation. You don't know what's going to happen. None of us know what's going to happen. We know that that this ABX exchange offers a solution to absolutely everybody.
Well, let's close there, Andy. I want to double back, and we'll talk more maybe in a couple of weeks as this global gold year of 2016 is unfolding in so many different ways, surprising, fun ways. But as we wrap up today, the ABX is, again, for institutional investors, but also retail investors. If someone wants to get involved in that exchange and become a participant, they do it through member firms like yours. How does somebody go about getting in touch with you and going to work there?
Okay, well, if you put up a link, then obviously we'll walk them through the process, but it's very straightforward. You can open up a live account in just a matter of almost immediately. You don't have to immediately fund it, get to know it, understand it, see the spreads, look at the prices globally, very interesting in itself. And then basically, when you're ready to fund it, obviously you've got direct access. Now, that's something that I think uniquely, obviously I've got a seat on the advisory board, so I do have a bit of an edge in some respects, but I'm also I do offer a no cost option to manage the people's portfolio if they so choose. I think timing is everything, and obviously we've seen markets move up and down. And sometimes it's a good idea, and I do this for a lot of my institutions. We sometimes move our money around, and I think so. If that's of any value to anybody, then we're happy to do that for them.
Click the link that's here on this page, Andy. I got to tell you, I'm just thrilled. I know it's been a long road, and I expressed that to Tom earlier. That I know it took a lot of work and a lot of. You never know what kind of roadblocks or obstacles are going to get thrown your way, and you got to work around, you got to beta test and all this other stuff. I'm just thrilled that it's up and running. And perhaps it's no coincidence that ever since we went live back on Wednesday, gold's done nothing but go straight up.
It's a nice thought, isn't it? And yeah. I think, as you say, that the market has changed, and it's the historic. This is a historic move, and I've never been so excited. It takes a lot to get me excited after some 40 years in this business, and I'll tell you that this is it. And I've been working alongside Tom for the last three, four years, and watching this thing, roll out, and the excitement of seeing it actually launch this week. And I know that there's further rollouts, and one more thing. We have some very interesting, some products ready to be launched soon, so close to my heart, and that's going to speed up the process of true price discovery, and I obviously will keep you posted on that development too.
Can't wait. We will definitely talk again soon, my friend. For now, though, thanks for all you do, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Craig, and it's exciting times.
All right, all the best, my friend.